There's a few guys that can make a big impact this year, but they have a tall hill to climb to get there.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
So we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to get after it. Happy Friday. Next week, football starts. So this is the last Friday without fall camp. How about that? Let's go, baby. We're going to kind of continue the theme from yesterday. We talked about a couple of guys that are coming back from injuries and how big of an impact they're going to make. We're going to continue that theme and talk about some more guys that are coming back that could be big-time players, but they got a tall mountain to climb, whether it be the guys in front of them, the system, so on and so forth. We're going to talk about that. Let's jump right in with the very first one, and I'm sure everyone feels like me here, and you're just sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for DeMarcus Riddick to explode. Last year, thought it could be the year he'd get to play a little bit more than just a gadget guy on defense. Had issues with his shoulder pretty much the whole year, though. And in doing so, missed time, and then guys just got opportunities ahead of him. I don't think it's a stretch to say, though, of all of the linebackers you have on this roster, he potentially has the most athletic upside of any of them. Bryce Diaz would be close, but man, if he can put it all together, he's a guy that I feel like everybody's pulling for. You know, remember the whole storyline around him? Perry Thompson gets so much credit for that 2024 class, getting the ball rolling, the big flip. But DeMarcus Riddick was the first one. DeMarcus Riddick was the first one that was earlier, like a couple of days before that Big Cat weekend. He gets here his freshman year, and it's like, God, how can we? He doesn't know the whole playbook. He could be a liability out there if you just throw him out there at linebacker and he's got to go cover somebody or he's got to be able to diagnose plays. How can we tap into this athletic ability? And remember, he was just sort of that outside contained guy. And it started against, I believe, Oklahoma. And he just absolutely wreaked havoc. And he was really good in that role. Then you fast forward to last season, and it's like, man, I mean, he's going to take that step up, right? He's going to take another step. And it just never really materialized. And a lot of it had to do with injuries. And then he went into the offseason, had his, labrum repaired. Sat out the whole spring, talked to him a few times. He felt like he was really close to being back to full strength. But now, as he comes back, boy, that room's loaded. That linebacker room is absolutely packed to the brim with talent. So he's got a couple of things going against him. Number one, you just don't play a lot of linebackers. That's football nowadays. You don't run out three linebackers anymore very often. You have two max, and then there's a lot of times where you only have one. So there's not a ton of snaps to go around. Number two, even if you drop into some of those fewer linebacker spots, you even have some safeties now, like an Eric Winters and a couple of guys that could even walk down and be run stopping safety. So like could it limit the formations where you have multiple linebackers out there? Or not limit is the wrong word. Could you employ some more formations because you have some bigger safeties that can come down and stop the run, Caleb Harris, Eric Winters, that you can take advantage of having some extra defensive backs on the field? I almost wonder if they need to go back to having him in that freshman year role and just let him be sort of one of those wreak havoc freaks off the edge. When you play a mobile quarterback, put him out there and let him play contain. Maybe have to be a package guy for now until, you know, next year. And then, you know, maybe Xavier Atkins goes into the draft and that frees up a spot. Regardless, I think everybody is pulling for him. Everybody wants DeMarcus Riddick to be a star. It's just like, where does it go? Where does it happen? Where does he play? Where does he fit in? It's when you get to a program to where an injury frees up opportunities for guys to step in, and it makes it tougher to come back and get your position back. It's bad for like that particular player, but you talk about the healthiness of the room and like the talent that you bring in. It's a pretty good sign. I want to see DeMarcus get in there and be able to carve out some kind of role. I think he can help us big time. Again, we just don't have that type of athleticism. We got some great linebackers, but even as good as they are, I don't think any of them have the athleticism, top-end speed that a DeMarcus Riddick could bring to the field. So I'll be definitely having my eyes on him next week, seeing where he fits in, where he's lining up. I wouldn't hate him coming off the edge, like having some packages where, you know, he's coming off the edge in a pass rushing situation. Particularly if there's any struggles, particularly if you have any issues creating pressure with, you know, your regular edge room and you need a little extra speed, or it's just a obvious pass rushing down and maybe you slide some of those edge rushers or those guys that come off the edge a little bit inside, so you have more pass rushers on the field and then you can deploy DeMarcus Riddick on like a third and long or whatever, and he's like a rush end / contain guy. He may have to carve a niche there. Pulling for him, though. We need him. Anytime you got a talented guy like that, you want to see him on the field as much as possible. A couple other guys we're going to talk about in just a second. But before we do that, let's give a quick shout-out to the PTAC Precision Tune Auto Care. Beat the heat. You still got time to take advantage of that free AC performance evaluation, system pressure test, vent temperature analysis, all at no cost. And then if there's any repairs over $300, they're going to give you $50 off. It's at the corner of Pepperell Parkway and Veterans, right there, smack dab in the middle of Opelika. It's not in the middle of Opelika, but right there in between Auburn and Opelika, right there on the line. And if you go between 7 and 9 a.m., you can get a $50 oil change. So can't beat it. And then if you're feeling crazy, you can go check out the bidet. It's spectacular. It's Precision Tune Auto Care. And then buyauburn.com. Do business with Auburn people everywhere. Hey, if you're an Auburn business owner, whether you went to Auburn or you're just a fan, you can list your business for less than $1 a day, and we're broadcasting this to thousands of Auburn listeners every single day. And then if you're an Auburn person who's looking to make a purchase or looking for a service, start with Auburn people, man. And buyauburn.com is the only place I know that you can guarantee that you're going to start knowing these are all Auburn people, man. I want to do business with Auburn people. It's buyauburn.com. We'll be back right after this. This one's interesting, and it's Bryson Washington, because he wasn't totally incapacitated. He wasn't totally held out of spring, but he had some lingering issues that not only affected his play on the field, but it's hindered him in the conditioning area of getting back to being full speed as a running back in college football. Golish has been hard on him. I think he called him a chubby butt after spring. And then just recently, he said he's got a ways to go getting his body back ready. You'll hear later this afternoon, Ben and I talk about that situation a lot more in depth, trying to figure out exactly what that means. But just on the surface, think about that running back room right off the bat, and think about it from the perspective of how does he, if he's not ready yet, how does he get enough ready to play and then attack the guys ahead of him so he can get a share of the carries himself? You know, obviously Jeremiah Cobb's a no-brainer as your number one guy. I think he's one of the top backs in the SEC. There's some really good running backs in the SEC, by the way. Holy cow. Probably one of the better running back years in the SEC in quite some time. But I digress. Get back to the Auburn situation. You got, again, Jeremiah Cobb. And then this spring, man, the talk of spring at running back was Omar. Omar was the number two guy in every rep, every drill. Heck, Omar would even go first a lot of times. Omar was very vocal. I think guys look at Omar as a leader on this team. He's only a sophomore, and in reality, he's an underaged sophomore because remember, he reclassified. Omar's going to be tough, man. Omar's going to be tough to beat. And if you're already behind the eight ball as far as how your coach views you in getting, I think Golish specifically said, getting, you know, it's not about going in there and playing one play. It's like, hey, can you go play four, five, six plays in a row? Can you carry the ball? Then can you go out for a pass? Then can you pass block? Then can you carry it again in four consecutive plays? Golish, when he has two really good running backs, it's remarkable how well he's been able to split carries. It's almost like it's desirable for him to be able to rotate two running backs. And then after that, man, when you throw Byron Brown in there as far as sharing the carries, ain't going to be a lot to go around. So this fall camp is mega important for Bryson Washington. I think Auburn would be fine if Omar's your number two guy. And I don't even know that I can confidently say that Omar's not a better or just as good player right now as Bryson Washington. All I know is Bryson Washington is a 1,000-yard back. And when you can have a 1,000-yard back with another guy who is essentially a 1,000-yard back, if you can have 2,000-yard rushers in your backfield and you're able to split carries with those guys, couple that in with Byron Brown, that's something to look out for. But I'll tell you right now, you're going to have to go crazy to unseat Omar. And then you got Nekai Davenport back there. You got Tay Meadows. You got Alvin Henderson. How much of a factor are they going to be? Like, it's not like they're just going to lay down either and say, sure, Bryson, we'll hang out and just let you have the rest of the carries. Nah, it's a battle. It's a stiff competition back there past running back one. So, like, running back two and beyond, it's a dogfight, man. And Bryson's got roughly – he's got under 40 days to get himself in shape. He can absolutely do it. He's just got to do it. Tall hill for him to climb. Last person we're going to talk about, and this one – I think is another one that's going to be special for Auburn fans because he's one of those guys that picked Auburn first. And if you remember last summer, last fall camp, the talk of the town was Sam Turner. There was talk that he could potentially, 2 years ago, he could potentially be a guy that plays right away. No, it was last season. I'm sorry. I get the years mixed up. He was a guy, he may be a factor on the other side of Cam Coleman. He was just one of the big storylines, and then he hurt his ankle really badly. He's battled back, and from a physicality standpoint, he's everything you want in a wide receiver. You know, he's plenty long enough, 6'3"-ish. He's going to be plenty big enough, over 200 pounds. Physical guy. But, man, he's got a tall hill to climb to be able to be an impact this year. Very similar to DeMarcus Riddick. I think everybody's pulling for Sam Turner. Probably a lot of people forget about Sam Turner. He missed the whole spring. Like, he wasn't even one of those guys really that dressed out and, you know, kind of ran with the group on the inside, on the indoor facility while the guys were practicing outside. A lot of times he was, you know, dressed in a practice jersey, but he was not participating. Like, it's a pretty serious injury that he's coming back from. So, right off the bat, you feel like Keyshawn Singleton and Jeremiah Koger and Chaz Nimrod are going to get a ton of snaps. We talked about Christian Neptune. That's not really going to be a position that Sam Turner is going to play, but between those four and then whoever comes in behind in that slot role, that's going to eat up a lot of possessions. And then you had the emergence of Brian Williams Jr. on the outside, who was essentially the direct backup behind Keyshawn Singleton. He actually started the A-Day game because of the, I guess, one-quarter suspension of Keyshawn Singleton. Then on the other side, you have Jeremiah Koger, and it feels like he's going to be the starter. And then right behind him, you had Corey Pettigrew, transfer from South Florida. So right there, you got a two deep, and none of it includes Sam Turner as of now. So if he's back to full speed, where does he fit in? And he's got a lot of work to do. But again, this football team is better the better Sam Turner gets, I think. Really pulling for him. He's got, again, got a lot of work to do. Practice starts next Wednesday. I think there's going to be four practices next week. I think we get to see three of them. So that's fun. I think we get to go see Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. So we'll have so much to talk about, so much to speculate over. I'll really have my eyes on guys like this, see how they're moving. If they're back to full speed, there's a couple of offensive linemen that were transfers that are also non-contact that we'll have our eyes on as well. Tight end room had a couple to watch. But, man, these three right here are important because all three of them could be very, very vital to Auburn's offensive success this year. And then, obviously, DeMarcus Riddick on defense. Let me know what you think. Let me know which one you think could make the biggest impact, DeMarcus Riddick, Bryson Washington, or Sam Turner. and then who you're pulling for the most. Need to be pulling for them all equally, but everybody, there's guys you just have a soft spot for. DeMarcus Riddick's one for me. Got a soft spot for him. We kind of come from the same part of Alabama. Got some connections there. And then I still credit him a lot with sparking that talent acquisition part of the Freeze tenure that we can at least say thank you for who was left, that's really good players that are on this roster. Guys, we're going to get out of here. Y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk again very, very soon. Make sure you like. Make sure you subscribe. Hell, hit that alert bell. We got stuff popping up every single hour, it feels like. We'll talk again soon. Y'all have a great weekend. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.